Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation, it has been a hard day's night. Welcome to the program. Why do I say it's been a hard day's night? I don't know, but I have a migraine from between last night and McCain's pick. The whole right side of my head is feeling like it's Bell's palsy. It's horrible, horrible, horrible. That's why I asked in my editorial today, my monologue, is McCain throwing the election? It's not the first time I've asked the question. My gut feeling tells me that the Republicans won out, that enough of them have gone to jail. The rest of them are so rich they don't know what to do with their money. There aren't enough Swiss banks in the world to take any more of the money they've inveigled. And so they figured now it's time to give it to the Democrats. Look, let's start from the beginning. It's been a hard day's night. I watched the Obama speech off and on coming in and out of basically a little, I was in a pool. I forgot it was on. I tuned in at 7:30 and I saw an articulate, passionate man. Forget the crowd and the fireworks. And I said, Bush gave us this man. 7 years of inarticulateness, bumbling, stumbling, mumbling, joking, nothing made sense. So we have Obama. So I said, I only pray McCain picks Romney, because Romney will trump them all. Romney's young, which counters McCain's old. Romney is handsome, which counters Obama's handsome. Romney is a very wealthy man, which, of course, allays the fears that McCain doesn't understand the economy. Then he goes and picks this unknown woman, and I say to myself, is McCain throwing the election? There's only so much that a person can take. Alaska Governor Sarah Palin, nobody ever heard of her. Nobody. I mean, I'm sure she's a wonderful person. I know that she's for drilling in Anwar, so am I. I know that she's this, and so am I. But that's not the point. We're talking about the middle-of-the-road people here who don't know who to vote for. Now, if you say to me, why would he do this? In defiance of all logic, what McCain did, which I don't think he did because I don't think he does anything. I think what the people who are running McCain did is defy all logic, and they undermine McCain's strongest suit by selecting a political neophyte with no experience, who waters down his key advantage over Obama, which is experience. So he says, I got it. I know how I'll fight. I know how I'll fight Obama's inexperience and my experience, which has given me a leg up. I know, aha, eureka, I'll pick someone who has no experience at all to undermine my experience. After all, I'm only 72. After all, the people are only afraid I'll become debilitated in office. And who else to be vice president but an inexperienced person no one ever heard of? Wow, what a perfect commander-in-chief. Instead of picking someone who has run businesses or has been a military leader, so we say, all right, he's 72, but he's got a lot of gumption. And God forbid he gets sick or worse in office, the vice president will take over and we have confidence. He picks a woman who ran a dog sled in a dog sled race. So I say to you, is McCain throwing the election, ladies and gentlemen? McCain has thrown the election, in my opinion. I believe it's clear to me that with his choice for VP, that he has no desire to win in November. Why else would he have chosen an inexperienced woman whose only apparent qualification is that she won a beauty pageant in the 1980s? Why else would he refuse to say Barack Hussein Obama's middle name a few months ago? Why else would he run an ad praising Obama and congratulating him for winning the nomination last night? If McCain had chosen Romney, a man with real leadership ability, real charisma, and real experience, he might have stood a chance. He could have made up for his lack of energy in confronting his opponent, his useless pandering to liberals, and his refusal to expose Obama's leftism and inexperience. Instead, McCain trumps inexperience with more inexperience. And Obama, for all his inexperience and for all of his far-left socialist tendencies, Obama picked a running mate who was perceived as giving the ticket more experience. As I said, McCain, in defiance of all logic, undermined his strong suit by selecting a political neophyte who waters down his key advantage over Obama. Now, I can hear the calls already. Mike, give her a chance. She's a real conservative. Mike, he's just doing this because he knows he has to pander to win. Mike, isn't it great that he picked a woman? Wrong, wrong, 1,000 times wrong. Picking someone because of their sex instead of their ability is the same kind of affirmative action insanity that the Democrats have shoved down our throats. We do not want a panderer. We want a president. If he had chosen a woman who was a real nationalist with a real resume, I would have said right on, John. But McCain has dropped the ball, thrown in the towel, and raised the white flag. And a generation of Americans will pay for his mistake. Play Hard Day's Night. This is Michael Savage. I'll take your calls at 1-800-449-8255. Last night I watched this speech at 7:30, Obama. I mean, I wasn't moved by it because I'm a professional and I can look through it, but the guy can speak. He's articulate. I know he lied because he's a politician. He can't do what he said he can do. I mean, you deconstruct what he said. He's a demagogue. However, he is good at slinging BS. He's an historic BS slinger. And that's what's important. And the things he said make no sense whatsoever. They were childish. Taxation without representation is the name of the political game to begin with. But I was there watching that speech with a woman who was more conservative than I am, if you can believe it. This woman grew up shooting guns, and this woman is like a tiger. This woman isn't a firecracker. This woman is a howitzer. This woman is an 88. She's not a 22. And I said, what do you think? Well, she watched him. And she said, if it wasn't for taxes, I'd probably vote for him. I said, why? She said, because I can't take any more of this inarticulate worm that we've had for a president, this man who made a mockery of the United States through his inarticulateness and his ineffectiveness. And she said, it might be great to have a man who's strong, and he just might be able to win over the masses of angry poor and motivate them to, you know, get off their behinds and go to work. I said, oh, my God, we're in trouble. I said, if this conservative howitzer of a woman would be saying these things to me, it's over. And then I wake up this morning. I was a little, you know, tired. I didn't want to even get up this morning. I was afraid to see who John McCain picked. And I get a call from my son. And he wakes me up and he says, Dad, did you see who McCain picked? I said, no. He said, the governor of Alaska. I said, who? He said, an unknown woman, a governor of Alaska. He said, it's over. Obama won. Trust me. You can write it down. I know what I'm talking about. Now, I know many of you are going to say she's brilliant and she's wonderful. I'm not knocking her politics. I am talking about the electability of this ticket. Please focus on what I just said to you. There's a difference between a candidate's politics and their electability. The woman is unknown. She's unelectable. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Mush. On King, on you Huskies. Mush. On King, on you Huskies. That's enough already. Do we have Eskimo pie, anything from Eskimo pie ice cream? I'm hungry. I want an ice cream. Why didn't he? This is astonishing. It's over. That's all. I mean, I'll vote for the old geezer, but we're talking about the middle of the roaders. They're going to be McCain and what? Miss Inexperienced? I know that many of you diehards are saying she's energizing the base. Hello, I'm the base. I'm not energized. I feel like the Energizer Bunny has had his batteries taken out of him by John McCain, or his handlers, his controllers are the correct phrase here. I'm sorry, I'm a big fan of Manchurian Candidate. And to me, he's not the Queen of Hearts, he's the King of Hearts. And the controller doesn't want him to win. Every time the guy moves up in the polls, bingo, they do something to pull him back down. So this is one man's opinion. I know many of you disagree with me. That's the way it is. San Francisco, David, you're up on the air. Go ahead, please.
Michael, not only have I heard about Sarah, but she was actually the person I was hoping he would pick, because everything
well,
else...
Well, you're one of about 10,000 people who know of her. I got to hand it to you. You're in a very distinguished crowd.
I understand that. I took an online poll today. You know, had you ever heard of her before? 3% of the people that took this poll had heard of her before. So I understand.
David, let's slow down. I never heard of her before. How come?
Don't understand that, because I actually heard of her and researched her a bit. And from what I read about her, she has an amazing story. And
yeah, but look at look at what you're saying. Look at what you're saying. You had to research her. How many average Americans who are undecided are going to research Miss Palin?
Well, granted, the average American probably isn't going to do much research anyway, right?
Well, that's what I'm getting at, which is that he did this allegedly to excite the average American who's not sure about him. But why would he take an inexperienced woman instead of someone who we know, someone with experience, someone who could become commander-in-chief? Would you want a woman who ran a city of 8,000 to be commander-in-chief?
Well, she's not only run a city, but she's also running the state of Alaska right now.
Well, that's some qualification to be commander-in-chief.
I think running a state is more akin to running a government than a senator, which Obama...
Sure, look how well George Bush did as a former governor. He did great.
He was
on the job training, a little war here. Oops, wrong country.
I think it's all of them personally, but... But the thing is,
let me ask you this: having said that you love her and you're going to vote for McCain, who would you have preferred?
Explain that.
Who would you have preferred that McCain would have chosen other than she?
Oh, other than she? I guess Romney would have been a second choice.
But don't you think that Romney would have had a wider appeal?
You're possibly correct on that.
Well, that's my only point, David. I'm not here to bash Palin. To me, she's a non-issue. That's the whole point. She is a non-issue, and she's not going to bring in new voters. And why they didn't pick Romney astonishes me.
The midstream media today, I just punched through at the top of the hour, every hour, I just punched through all the AM stations to listen to what the midstream media news was doing. And nobody was talking about the speech last night. Everybody was talking about McCain's pick.
Right, and what were they saying?
Oh, they were saying, she's going to attract the woman vote.
Yes, that's exactly right. The mainstream, midstream media would approve of a liberal choice like this. Oh, my, he picked a woman. Hey, hallelujah. What experience does the woman have? Is she prepared to be commander-in-chief and command the United States Marines in battle? Is she prepared to command the United States Air Force and the United States Army? I don't think so. That's my point. The American people need more, they need better, and this is a stupid choice. I am sorry if you disagree with me. Unbelievable to me. The issue is, will she bring in voters? The answer is no. Never heard of her. Never heard of her. Bakersfield Mike, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I disagree with you, although I would have voted, I'm a Democrat, I would have voted for McCain if he had picked Donald Duck. But the more you're going to know about her, the more you're going to change your mind about her. Because I tell you, she's got more experience than Obama. That's for damn sure.
Well, let's take that on the face of it. However, Obama picked a very experienced, although old line, smokestack, backroom dealing type of Democrat, didn't he? Why did he pick? Let's go back to his pick of Biden. Why would you think he did it? He did it because he had to show his lack of experience was supported by a man with great experience in the Senate, for better or for worse. So McCain trumps that by picking the least experienced person amongst all of his choices?
No, because one thing, she does, being the fact that she was the governor of a state, I mean, she was a commander-in-chief of the National Guard.
That's 2 years right there, fending off enraged walruses in heat. I guess that's a big big experience right there. Calling out the leather boats to harpoon the seals. That's a heck of a calling card.
She's going to attract more. She's going to take away more from the Hillary group, which is what was needed. And I think the conservatives are going to embrace her on it because she is pro-life. I think there's going to be a lot of pro things. I would have wanted Mitt Romney on there. I wanted him there.
Well, at least we can agree on that. Romney would have brought to the table charm, articulateness, a man who looks like a president, and more importantly, his experience as a successful businessman would have satisfied the doubting Thomases who are saying McCain doesn't have economic knowledge because that's one of his weak points. The only reason he didn't pick Romney that I could think of is that the evangelicals are opposed to Mormons.
I think you're right on that. He made a move. I think you're going to see something different. I think you're going to see him pull away in the polls, and I hope I'm right because I want McCain up there.
I'd rather see McCain win than Obama, don't get me wrong, but I'm telling you, I had a hard day's night after seeing Obama's majestic speech. Oh, no, it was hot air. It was excellent, well done, and such. The crowd was moved by him, as you'd expect from a crowd of people with that orientation. But the fact is that he's a great speaker. McCain is not a great speaker. McCain is a good speaker. But McCain has to trump the questions about his age and his health status. He didn't do it with this inexperienced governor. That's all I'm saying. That's all. That's all. Wrong reason, wrong pick. Will not bring in votes, in my opinion. What's your opinion? Is McCain throwing the election on purpose? Is the question. Why do the Republicans not want to be in charge anymore? Answer, because they've had eight of the best years of their life. They were such good years that so many of them are in jails right now that they're starting to be released. So many of them have been in jail so long they're starting to come out of jail already, making room just in time for the Democrats who will soon be joining, or let's say occupying their cells. And they don't know what to do with the money. They don't know where to put it. They can't launder it anymore. So now it's time for the Democrats to take the heat. And I love Obama. We're going to end that war in Iraq, and we're going to start one in Afghanistan. And they cheer. Perfect. What a choice.
Savage.
Yeah. Oh, little girl of mine. You sure look fine.
It is the Savage Nation. I can't get too excited about Miss Palin. I'm sorry. Sure, she's a fine woman and all that, and her politics are wonderful, and she's a member of the NRA and blah, blah. I'm talking about electability. I'm sorry, you don't trump your experience by bringing along an inexperienced woman. Something doesn't make sense. It's either he's being sabotaged by his advisors or he himself doesn't know what he's doing, but it doesn't look too promising right now. And believe me, I'm not the only one making this statement. I know a few conservatives who all said, what? Are they crazy? Why would he do this after Obama's stirring speech last night? You may not like Obama's politics, which I don't, but the man can speak. He certainly energized the crowd and the nation. You can't deny that. Now you bring in a woman who's lackluster like this. So get ready. Get ready for 65% federal tax. You know, get ready for affirmative action. Get ready for re-education programs in every workplace. Get ready for gay and lesbian in your face everywhere you turn. Get ready for gay marriage. Get ready for lawsuits if you don't hire people they want you to hire. Get ready for illegal aliens in your soup. Get ready for the loss of America because McCain just did it to you. New York City, W.R. Frank, you're on the Savage Nation.
Mike, you have a great talent for scrambling our brains. I was shocked. And that's exactly the message went to the Barack camp. They must be and paralyzed now. How in hell can you say she doesn't have the qualifications? Biden is a governor. She's a governor. Others were governors. And Biden doesn't have a criminal past for plagiarizing.
Let's slow down. First of all, his name is Biden. I understand you mixed up a little, Biden. That's okay. It happens. But look. McCain's strength is his experience. That's what's been coming out in every poll. Isn't that correct? Do we agree on that at least?
Can I ask you a question?
See, here we go again. You're playing Talmudic rabbi with me already. Let's stop playing rabbi already, asking each other questions. So I won't ask you a question. I'll give you the answer. McCain's strength is his experience. His strength in every poll was his experience versus Obama's inexperience. So instead of augmenting his experience with someone who has rock-solid experience as a businessman and a leader, i.e. Romney, he picks a woman with no experience that no one ever heard of outside of Alaska.
May I answer you?
I'm not going to stop you.
Okay. Let's take Arnold Schwarzenegger. Out of 98 candidates, they picked this guy because it was a popularity contest. It wasn't talent. There's no more talent when it comes to elections in this country. It's strictly a popularity contest. All these contests are done with smoke, mirrors, cards, strings, the whole nine yards.
So you're as cynic as I am, and we see the world the same way. How could you then get so excited over someone no one ever heard of?
Because Barack is shocked to hell. He doesn't know how to handle this. Believe me, Mike, I love you. I think you're great. Like I said before, you have a talent with scrambling brains, and this is why I got on the phone with you. I wish you good health and good luck.
Yeah, I'm not angry at you. I'm not mad at you. You have a great energy. But I disagree with you. I don't understand how you can get – what I don't get it is how many of you are so excited over her. I even put in my monologue written before you called. Here. Paragraph 3, of course I can hear the calls already. Mike, you should give her a chance. Mike, she's just doing this because he has to pander. Mike, isn't it great that he picked a woman? I don't know. I just don't know anymore. I don't know what's going on in my country. I know it's a popularity contest. But I don't know. I'm tuning out already. I'm tuning out of the whole – I can't take it anymore. I'm tuning out. Just when I should be tuning in after Labor Day, I'll be tuning out. That's what they say most Americans pay attention to the election is starting Tuesday. Tuesday already, I'm ready to go on to boats, cars, guns, dogs, anything but the election. I can't take much more of this. What more can you take of this? How much more of it can you take? Now, I've read the internet on the Biden pick, and it's actually frightening. If you actually go into the internet and see why Biden was chosen, you'll see that he wasn't chosen. He was forced on Obama by some pretty powerful forces. And, you know, that's why during the breaks right now, what I'm looking at are actually curtains for my boat. I'm trying to decide what color curtains to replace on my boat. That's how interested I am in Palin versus Biden and Obama versus McCain. And I'm not like this. It's enough already. I mean, I'm tuning out. It's not turn on, tune in, drop out. It's not that at all. It's not Timothy Leary's advice I'm following. It's enough already. I'd rather go boating than put up with this anymore. So, look. Do I want the blue curtains or the beige curtains? I can't do this. I can't. Please stop this. Stop this. Get me off this political already. And I don't want to read from my book anymore. I've read already all I want to read for you already. That's all I want to do. You want me to read from the book? It was shocked. It was shocked. McCain is absolutely clueless. Clueless. The reason the media has gone insane over her is because they know the election is over. That's why they know. That's why they got excited. That's why they're promoting her. They know that she's unelectable and that she destroyed the ticket. That's all. Would you rather I read from Psychological Nudity for a quick pick here? You have Eskimo Pie, anything from the Eskimo Pie days, an ad for them? That used to be my favorite ice cream. I'm not trying to mock the choice of her. Which picture do we have of her on my website? I want to see which one I had this morning. Is she good looking? I mean, I don't even know. How can you tell? What is this with the plain Jane look? You know, there's a look now going on in America of the 40, you know, nice business executive woman type. This is unbelievable. Is McCain throwing the election? MichaelSavage.com. Look what Michael wrote. It is clear now with his choice for vice president that he has no desire to win in November. Who wrote this? Why else would he choose an inexperienced woman? I want to read this guy's blog. Oh, it's me. I thought there was someone else in America who made sense. I was reading my own. God, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be ludicrous about it. I watched the speech last night. I mean, I didn't like the fireworks, but I stood there awed by it. College president receives $400,000 for resignation. Did you see that story? The president of a nothing college in the Midwest, Des Moines, holding the spigot of a small beer keg suspended over a young woman's open mouth. You know, that's the college presidents today. And in order to embarrass him, they fired him with a $400,000 going away present. Bernie Ward. Today he had a surrender today at noon. Take the long bus ride to Lompoc. So I guess he's getting oriented to now down there in prison. They're giving him his pork and beans and whatever they give him down there. They will not be playing the following song. I don't think that they will have played this song on arrival, on Bernie Ward's arrival at Lompoc. Do you have that song that we said he would not be hearing?
Each time I see a little girl of 5 or 6 or 7, I can't resist a joyous urge to smile and say thank heaven. For little girls,
oh, stop.
For little girls get bigger every day.
Oh, God.
Thank heaven.
Thanks,
heaven. For little girls.
Oh, thank God it's Friday.
They grow up in the most delightful way.
Oh, thank God it's Friday. I wouldn't know what to do. One more day, I'd throw the towel in.
So helpless and appealing. One day will flash and send you crashing through the ceiling.
This was not played on the jail bus on the way to Lompoc. You understand this was not played on the loudspeakers going down there. What a long ride.
Where, no matter who. Without
all right, thank you. Chevalier, I always knew he was Chevalier never trusted him. Now, look, many of you are going to get mad at me now. I'm never listening to him again, blah, blah, blah. I can't help that. I'm not a lockstepper. I'm not a goose stepper. Oh, she's this, she's that. That's not the point. It's not the point. No one ever heard of her. She's unelectable. Family, husband Todd, 5 children, Track, Bristol, Willow, Piper, and Trigg. Okay, no comment. Those are the names of Miss Palin's children. Track, Bristol, Willow, Piper, and Trigg. Born in 1964. What shall I tell you? She's a Pisces. I don't know. February 11th. I'm going to go into her horoscope now. Sandpoint, Idaho birth. Political experience, Governor of Alaska, 2006 to the present. Member NRA, check. Coach, a hockey team, check. Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, check. She wants to drill in Anwar, check. Still not electable. Now, John McSchmuck runs a praise ad for Obama that you cannot believe this. He attacked, listen to clip, which is the one where he praises Obama during, play that soundbite you have. I want to hear that one.
Senator Obama, this is truly a good day for America. You know, too often the achievements of our opponents go unnoticed. So I wanted to stop and say, congratulations. How perfect that your nomination would come on this historic day. Tomorrow we'll be back at it. But tonight, Senator, a job well done.
Schmuck.
I'm John McCain, and I approve this message.
John, you're a schmuck. You don't deserve to be president, you putz. What's wrong with you? I'm telling you, I have instincts. Every time this guy got ahead, he shot himself in the foot. What, are you kidding me? He makes an ad like this congratulating Obama on Obama's big night, and the next day he picks someone. Oh, wow, terrific. Play the Sergeant Preston piece here.
The challenge of the Yukon.
On King, on your husky.
That's funny. Turn it on. Oh, the dogs I like. Let me hear the dogs. That's the sound of John McCain and Cindy leaving for Mongolia as they open the Buick dealership in Mongolia next January, trying to make ends meet. Either they get the Opel dealership in Mongolia after this. He could have picked Cindy McCain, he would have won. You want to talk about an upset pick? Cindy McCain, I said so the other day. He could have said, here's my surprise pick. I'm picking the person I know best. The woman I know is the most conservative, the one with the most experience, and that's Cindy McCain. Cindy, I'd like to bingo, he's over the top. He would have shocked the other side. Not some unknown woman from Alaska. I'm sorry. It doesn't make sense to me. It's a mistake. Now, I know many of you disagree with me. Does anyone agree with me yet? Or everybody's calling who disagrees? I can't do this for 3 hours, so you better get a story ready from Psychological Nudity. I'm not going to for 3 hours say this. I made my point already. That's all. It's enough. I made my point. You may disagree with me. You may agree with me. And who agrees? Mike on line 3 on WOR. Go ahead, Mike. You agree or disagree?
I agree, Dr. Savage. I think what McCain was doing was making a purely political decision. He thinks he's going to get Hillary female voters by doing this in addition to the conservative base. And he's wrong, because those Hillary liberal voters are liberals before they're women. And just like black voters don't like Clarence Thomas, those liberal Hillary voters aren't going to come around to McCain simply because his vice president happens to be a woman.
Bingo. I 100% right. Agree with you. And whoever made this decision for McCain, or if he made it himself, indicates that they don't know what they're doing. And if they can be so... I had a doctor, a professor, when I was in graduate school, who said to me the first thing that goes in older people is their judgment. And I happen to know that to be true. Older people tend to lose their judgment before they lose their other faculties. They don't quite understand what they're doing or what they're saying, okay? I believe this is this indicates a total lack of judgment on the part of McCain if he picked her.
I agree. I think it doesn't make any sense to me. But I was very upset when I saw it. I knew immediately that you would disagree with it, which is why I tuned in tonight. And I also
I didn't disagree. I woke up, as I said, I had a bit of a headache. So my son calls me and says, what I said, he called me, he was shocked. And he's very conservative. He's just absolutely stunned by this. I don't know anybody who isn't.
No, well, I mean, there are people that like it. Maybe it'll help them. Maybe we're wrong. But me personally, I don't like the pick.
But who's going to like this? Tell me. They say the base is energized. I'm the base. I represent 8 to 10 million listeners, many of whom agree with me and are waiting for me to give them some signal of what I'm going to do. Okay, let's be clear about it. Let me not downplay myself and my influence over the election. How can I get excited over a woman who I frankly would not want to be commander-in-chief of the United States military if, God forbid, John McCain becomes debilitated? I would not select this woman to command the military. How do you like that?
No, I agree, but it's going to be just like the last election. You're going to hold your nose, you're going to show up, and you're going to vote for McCain, unfortunately. You know?
Well, I may just pick curtains for my boat and sail off into the sunset. I may turn the clock back altogether, grow my hair long, get the sandals, move to some island somewhere and be forgotten. I mean, this is enough already. When we come back, we'll take more calls on this. You can agree or disagree and tell me why. If we haven't heard anything we all know already, we don't have to hate each other to disagree with each other, because remember, we're not liberals. Liberals hate you if you disagree with them. I would hope that you don't have to hate me if you disagree with me. And then maybe I will find a wonderful story from Psychological Nudity that will cheer me up right here on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Come along and be my party doll. Come along and be my party doll. Come along and be my party doll. I'll make love to you.
The reason I'm looking at curtains for my boat is because I think it's curtains for McCain. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. And so just for a quick break, I'm going to play an interesting story from my new autobiography, Psychological Nudity. This one is called Tippy the Dog, Who Lets Them In But Doesn't Let Them Out of the House. And I said that should be our immigration policy. Listen. Now, Tippy the Dog, we lived in a little house in Queens, New York when I was a boy. Tippy the Dog would always let people in the house, but he would never let them out. Oh, you can come in. He wouldn't bark at all. He smiled, the tongue hung out. But if you try to leave, he attacked you. He went crazy, leapt at the throat. You had to constrain him like with an iron chain. Then put him in a basement. You'd hear broom things fall down the steps. And a door. I mean, he almost broke the door. He was like a nutcase dog. So I had a dog who let people in the house, but he would never let him out. Now, I think that that's what we should do with the immigrants in America. No Middle Eastern immigrants can now leave America without a thorough examination by the FBI. You came in nice. We didn't say a word. You're not getting out, though. That's all. You want to leave? Go to the FBI. We'll let you out in a few years. Thorough exam. You can't go out. What are you leaving for all of a sudden? What, the SSI didn't go down? There's religious tolerance here. What are you leaving for, sir? Oh, you're going back to Pakistan to visit your mother? No, I'll tell you why. We're going to investigate you till the year 2010. We want to ask you a few questions. Is that the whole piece? Well, that's from Psychological Nudity. You could see why I'm so fond of my own book. It makes me laugh, that's all. What can I do? You want me to eat my heart out? We have Barack Obama. You want to eat your heart out? Listen to Obama. Let's see. Play any of them. Let's play any Obama.
And my great friend, Dick Durbin.
Dick Durbin?
And to all my fellow citizens.
See, hold it. See, politically, this man is a nightmare. Dick Durbin is perhaps, well, Dick Durbin is the man who called our Marines Nazis. He equated them to Nazis and Pol Pot's Red Brigades. Dick Durbin, in my opinion, is a criminal. If Dick Durbin is his godfather, that's who you're getting as president. Dick Durbin is an evil, anti-American, anti-military man who poses as Mr. Nice Guy. And you got to understand who Barack Obama is. He is a front for that wing of the Democrat Party. It's the anti-military wing of the party. Make no mistake about it. Juanita in Sacramento, you're up on the Savage Nation. Do you agree or disagree with me that this pick was the worst ever by McCain?
I think that you were bombarded with McCain's delegates. When have you ever had the first three callers disagree with you?
Never. Never.
You know, I can't. He could have pulled it off with Romney, but this,
yes.
I'm in shock, too. I just.
So do you agree that McCain is possibly throwing the election or he has no judgment?
Yes. Either that or yes. I could not believe it. I, like you, am. I'm
flabbergasted. There's a word, flabbergasted, whatever flabbergasted means. I don't know how you gassed a flab, but my flab is gassed, I can tell you that.
Blue curtains. That might give you.
Yes, the curtains are important. I do not want beige. That's all I know. I want navy. I want something nautical. So if I'm going to refurbish my boat, I think I'll pick navy. It's curtains for McCain and it's curtains for my boat.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Obama, this is truly a good day for America. You know, too often the achievements of our opponents go unnoticed. So I wanted to stop and say, congratulations. How perfect that your nomination would come on this historic day. Tomorrow we'll be back at it. But tonight, Senator, a job well done.
My friends and fellow Americans, I am very pleased and very privileged to introduce to you the next Vice President of the United States.
My husband and I, we both grew up working with our hands. I was just your average hockey mom in Alaska.
Well, that's a qualification right there. I said the world needs a hockey mom in the White House.
Raising our kids. I was serving as the team mom and coaching some basketball
great,
on the side.
Great.
I got involved in the PTA and then was elected to the city council.
There you go, bake sales.
And then elected mayor of my hometown, where my agenda was to stop
this
waste
is real,
and spending
just the kind of
and
tough
cut
lady we need.
Taxes and put the people first.
Wow, that's heavy rhetoric. That's Pulitzer Prize winning, put the people first. That's good. It's as good as Obama. Now, the McCain people are calling Obama an empty suit, so to fight that, eureka, he picks an empty skirt. Unbelievable. Ast- astonishing mistake. The biggest blunder in American political history. And I got to tell you something. The opposition knows it. They're gloating. They are gloating. Representative Rahm Emanuel, a diehard left-winger, says on his 72nd birthday, is this really the one heartbeat away he wants to put in the White House? What does this say about his judgment? I have to agree with him. You know, politics makes strange bedfellows, but when people are right, you have to admit they're right. I wish they would do it with me. They know I'm right 90% of the time. They won't admit it, but I will because I'm a bigger man than they are. The pick earned McCain praise Friday from evangelicals and other social conservatives who have been skeptical of him. Conservatives will be thrilled with this pick, said Greg Mueller, whoever he is, a conservative GOP strategist. Never heard of him. Some strategist. Where do they get these strategists from? They're all going to be looking for a job come November 8th. So Palin's lack of experience undermines the Republican charges that Obama is not ready to be commander-in-chief. It's unbelievable to me. It's astonishing. It makes no sense. She has no experience. She led the Alaskan National Guard. She's the mother of a soldier herself. Wonderful. I'm glad. That's not good enough. That is not good enough at all. McCain is totally wrong. McCain says she's exactly who this country needs to help me fight the same old Washington politics of me first and Washington second. Is he kidding me? McCain Kennedy? McCain Feingold? McCain needed a rock-ribbed conservative man. Somebody who could have taken the reins if McCain gets sick in office. It's over. He defied all logic. He undermined his one strong suit of experience by giving himself someone without experience. He watered himself down over Obama. Crazy. Never saw anything like this. One mistake after another. That's my opinion. I'm Michael Savage. You disagree with me. What can I say? If you want to make a call, 1-800-449-8255. If you want to read my editorial, is McCain throwing the election, go to michaelsavage.com. I am so glad it's Labor Day weekend. Oh, my God. Now, if you think that next week is going to be easier for you than this was, you're mistaken. It's going to be one of the worst weeks of your life. If you are a Republican or a conservative and you think that the Democrat corporate show was boring, bland, vanilla, whatever you want to call it, you're right. But if you think that the Dems were vanilla, wait until you see the check pants Republicans get down next week in Minneapolis. I mean, it's going to be unwatchable. I better get some shows ready, something. I think I'm in a pow hunt. I may go on vacation. I can't take it. I feel myself in advance clamping up. This was the last straw for me. What about you? San Diego, Liam, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Hey, Michael, this was the last straw for me, too. You know, I'm a little bit like you in that I see the big picture. And don't you think that in 20 years we're going to be sitting here saying the equivalent of, well, let's see, we got the choice between Pol Pot and Ho Chi Minh. So, I mean, where is this going?
Well, you and I won't be sitting here, that's for sure. I will be in a re-education camp after Nancy Pelosi gets through with freedom of speech. We will be in Cambodia much earlier than 20 years from now after Mussolini Pelosi gets through with this country.
Hey, Michael, I'm right with you. I'm actually thinking I might have to throw a little exit strategy together here. And I don't know, you know, Australia, I don't know, New Zealand.
No, I don't even want to go there. But everyone's mind has wandered there from time to time. You know, if you're you're younger than me, but I lived through the turbulence of the 60s, and in those days, people used to talk about leaving America. Where should you go? A lot of people bailed out and took sailboats and just went around the world, that kind of thing. You know, I've lived through this. I've gone through this, and I've never run away from this country. I've only run into the country trying to make it a better place, and I cannot for the life of me fathom how anyone could see this as a good choice unless they're working for John McCain. Or if they are political naives, because you're talking not about her politics here. We're talking about whether she's electable and whether she strengthens McCain's image. No one can argue that this woman, this unknown woman, Sarah Palin, strengthens his image. It weakens him. It waters him down. It makes no sense. That's all. Albany, New York, maybe I'm mistaken. Bernadette, do you agree or disagree with Michael Savage?
I agree with you, Michael, 100%. She shouldn't be there. That's all I can say.
That's all.
No,
okay, let's do it this way. Women, attention women, the tigresses of America, the real conservative nationalists out there, women, tigresses, do you want this woman running the U.S. military? I mean, Bernadette, does she give you confidence?
No. What if we have a war and McCain dies? She's in charge? No.
That's what I'm saying, Bernadette. That's what I'm saying. This does not make sense. And that's why I think he's throwing the election. I have said this over the last 6 months, and then I retracted it because he started to look as though he really wanted the job. But this, to me, makes no sense unless he's either lacking judgment and did this on his own, or the controllers have told him, pick someone who will make sure you lose the election because we want the Democrats to take over to run the Carney show for another 8 years in the other direction. That's all. That's all I can say, and I don't want to argue with you guys. You can come and call the show anytime you want. But Palin's age and inexperience matched that of Obama. Made no sense. Chicago, Jocelyn, your opinion, please go ahead.
Hi, I'm actually a woman, a conservative, and I'm completely appalled by McCain's decision. I think it's just completely insulting that he thinks that this is going to win the women's vote. I mean, she's inexperienced. It's insulting to think that this is going to be a great thing for her going forward.
All right, so let's pause right here. If he wanted to pick a woman, just name one or two women he could have picked who would have gotten you excited.
You know, I honestly, I think Condoleezza Rice has done a great. I'm big on international issues. And, I mean, frankly, I want to see her passport. I don't think, I mean, being a governor of Alaska really makes you capable of handling conflicts in third world countries, is going to make you a great person to represent America. I mean,
the whole thing makes no sense to me. She would have been an ambassador, perhaps. Even that would have been questionable. Women ambassadors are not respected in certain parts of the world. You can see Condoleezza Rice, her legacy has gone up in flames with what she's just done with Georgia. So Condoleezza Rice would have been a very bad choice. But there are women out there in the Republican world who we could have chosen, who would have brought some dignity and experience to the office, and who would have brought strength. Is there not a Margaret Thatcher woman he could have chosen? Let's put it to you that way. Instead of a hockey mom, why didn't he choose a Margaret Thatcher-like woman?
You know, I really think that he thought that a lot of her strengths would correlate with what were seen as weaknesses with him. His age, she's younger. But, you know,
Romney's younger. He's also a billionaire because he made it on his own. And he's very telegenic. He has a wonderful-looking family. Why has Romney been thrown under the bus by the Republican Party is the big question of this election. Romney, by the way, should have won the nomination, not McCain. I want to go back to that so it's never forgotten. Do you remember that strange night that Romney was ahead in the primaries and overnight a few people in a back room somewhere in the southeast threw Romney under the bus and picked this dark horse loser McCain? Do you remember that? Now suddenly we're supposed to rally around John McCain? John McCain was never the right choice. John McCain was always the wrong choice. So that was bad enough, we all got used to him. Now, just when we warmed up to him, he says, drop dead to all of us, I'm picking somebody who's not qualified. I mean, doesn't make sense. Sorry, that's my opinion. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I want to hear the call. It is the Savage Nation. That, of course, is the great theme song from the wedding scene in The Godfather, which I love. I love the tarantella. And years ago, I was in a lightning storm over Cheyenne, Wyoming, when you're allowed to drink too much on an airplane. So I drank too much in the storm, figuring if it was going to end, I may as well end it and have a good time. And I wrote this poem called When Pasta Was Spaghetti in the lightning storm over Cheyenne, Wyoming in a 737. It's a great story unto itself, and it is included in Psychological Nudity. So listen to When Pasta Was Spaghetti. The hairy forearms of New York serve you your coffee with a turning gesture, an offering that says drink, eat, enjoy. The wiry Italian in Vincent's Clam Bar, the one behind the greased-over register, the young kid connected who receives his deference from the spaghetti cook older than his gangster father, the spaghetti cook who looks like an old-fashioned doctor from the Bronx with clipped mustache. He actually pulls some noodles out of the pot and eats them as they cook, looking to the grimy ceiling for his tender answer. Well, they used to call it spaghetti. Now it's pasta at $10 a plate. The smoky windows of Romeo's Spaghetti now offers radios and knickknacks. It was 50 cents a plate then, in neon letters that you couldn't miss, even through a fogged-over window on a cold winter's eve. There was life. Marinara sauce that smacked to the sea. Noodles as long as your young arm. Meatballs as fluffy as your dream of them. Bread on the table you'd eat against your parents' admonitions that the meal was coming, the meal was coming. And men, some burly with black hairy forearms whose smile scared you, and little skinny guys with the look of murder on their faces, and people who slurped their spaghetti straight to their mouths from the plate, one motion like Chinese shoveling rice at mouth with clicking sticks. That was gusto before it became a beer ad. That was taste before it became a synonym for fashion. That was spaghetti before it became pasta. That's it. That's in Psychological Nudity for all of my Italian listeners. Of course, anybody who's ever eaten spaghetti has to have that poem in their collection. And that's why I said to you, I chose to write stories that were not political by and large. In this overly political environment, political season, which is going to come to an end in November to a certain extent, we're going to have to settle down and go back to what's important. And to me, what's important is life itself. And what's life is what your stories are. Stories are what your life is. Everyone out there has stories in their life. Many of us don't even know we're living a story, and we're living a novel or a long story or a short story. Some of us think our life is boring. And it is boring if you think it's boring, but I've never seen it as boring. I mean, I've had some moments where there's been no wind in my sails. That's true. I go down like everybody else on earth, and I come up like everyone else on earth. But from my point of view, life is with people. Life is with pets. And frankly, life is. And that's what's in Psychological Nudity. So please go to michaelsavage.com. Check out the 75 stories that are in there and order them while you can on The Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. Here are some of the other stories that didn't make it to the show today. Federal jury acquits ex-Marine in Iraqi's death. Jose Luis Nazario Jr. was acquitted yesterday, and we supported him. I sent some of your money to him. Thank God he got his justice. I'd like to see the lawyers in the military who went after this point to our Marines. College president receives $400,000 for resignation. Suspected remains of World War II airmen found dangling from tree. That's amazing. Dangling from a tree in Papua New Guinea. You got to see that story. I don't want to read about boy killer smirks, his death pronounced in court. It's too pathetic. Let us see. Oprah on Obama. I cried my eyelashes off. Oh, yeah, really. Crocodile tears and all. Feinstein considers run for governor in 2010, just what the doctor ordered. Well, we need the Queen of Hearts now in the governorship. But what's the difference? We already have the Queen of Austria in the governorship, so it wouldn't matter. Russia denies it was preparing to cut oil flows to Europe. Iran operating 4,000 nuclear centrifuges. Ho-hum. I mean, I've heard too much about Iran every day. Israel, oh, they're going to kill us, bomb us. Every day, Iran, do something about it already. We spent $1 trillion on your military. You haven't used it in 20 years. You know, aren't the F-18s getting rusty over there in Tel Aviv? What happened to that country? When it was run by a woman named Golda Meir, it was a nation that had pride and dignity. Now that it's run by this creature called Olmert, they may as well give up the country and pack their suitcases and move to Florida right now, according to some. What else is on the Savage Nation website? Oh, this is creepy. On the bottom of the website, michaelsavage.com, there's a spider you don't want to look at. I hate spiders. Deadly Afghan spider hitches ride home with soldier, kills family dog. Can you believe this story? A camel spider. The guy is a paratrooper in England, goes over to Afghanistan. His luggage comes home. A spider comes out and in his luggage and kills his dog. Oh, God. Just what the doctor ordered. So there it is. MichaelSavage.com. McCain throws election, picks inexperienced woman from Alaska. That's my headline. maverick conservative. You hear this? Where'd the word maverick come from? Nobody in politics is a maverick. Mavericks are in jail.
Savage.
My love must be a kind of blind love.
It is the Savage Nation Friday edition, Rock and Roll Friday. It's 34 minutes after the hour. We're talking about the shocking selection of an unknown, inexperienced woman by John McCain, but we're going to go to Real Life 101 right now, and we're going to talk about a tragedy that has occurred in San Francisco that has ramifications for the world, and that is the indiscriminate killing of a father, Mr. Bologna, and his two grown sons by an illegal alien felon who should have been arrested and deported months before, but for the policies of Mayor Eni Tuosum Newsom and District Attorney Kamala Harris, who protected this felon, this gang member, who has now committed three murders. Joining us right now is Danielle Bologna. I need not tell you who she is. She'll tell you who she is. Mrs. Bologna, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you very much for having me on this show.
First of all, I want to start with the obvious, which is that my heart goes out to you. I don't know what to say other than that. I don't want to overdo this. But you are a woman right now who has lost about everything. I'd like to know, without pumping you to say anything you don't want to say, what kind of reaction have you gotten from the city, from the people in this city itself?
Well, first, I just want to say to most of the listeners who are listening right now is I got a reaction of anger. We were pretty well known in San Francisco. We kind of dedicated ourselves to doing a lot of coaching, and we were a very active family, very close family. The funeral itself can tell you there was 1,800 people that attended, a lot of family members and, you know, friends and so forth. And the city of San Francisco right now is opening up their eyes to something they weren't aware of, which is called the sanctuary law. You know, we all tend to have our eyes closed, but when it happens to somebody that you love and somebody close to you, you tend to say, what's going on here? You know, and with all my friends and everybody in San Francisco, they're just extremely stunned. It's changed their life. I've had many people say to me, I need to be closer to my kids, closer to my husband. And I'm a woman, which I can't even say widow, because that's indescribable to me. I never in a million years thought I would be in this situation. I lost a beautiful man that I love of 21 years, my son who is 20 years old, and my other son who is 16, who I had to take off life support. I never thought I would have to do something like that. And I think the city right now is extremely outraged and angry.
I ran a picture on my website, Danielle, of Mayor Newsom having a party with Kamala Harris in Denver, celebrating their wonderful politics, partying as though everything's just fine back home. I was outraged by this. These are the people who permitted this gangbanger to walk the streets and kill your family.
Exactly. And
what has Mayor Newsom's reaction been with regard to this tragedy?
You know, this is what's disgusting to me, and all your viewers are listening to this. It's so disgusting. I am a citizen of San Francisco, and I you know, I'm a Catholic, and we've done everything right. I would have thought from Gavin Newsom, who 2 months later after this murder then decides to say he's sorry on TV instead of even speaking to us personally. Now I could care less. I don't even want to look at him. I don't want nothing from him.
Saying he never visited you personally?
Ever. And he had the nerve to come to the funeral for 5 minutes and not even come up to me or the archbishop. And I was stunned. I just looked
at him. He's a nothing. He's an empty suit. He's one of the worst people in the history of this city.
Thinks he's and, going for governor? There's no way.
Governor, yeah. On what basis should he run for the governor? On releasing gangbangers to kill? Look, you've hurt so much. I don't want to make it any worse, but you are suing the city. What needs to happen for the people to understand what you're trying to do?
Well, you know, mainly what I'm trying to do is I really want to set a point. I really want to change this law. I feel like I'm not going to be the only family ever to go through this. I don't want it to happen to another family.
Now, what do you mean by change the law? You mean the sanctuary city policy that permits illegal alien gangbanger drug dealers to roam freely under the protective wing of the district attorney and the mayor?
Absolutely. at this point, we really want to hold them accountable to this. I think change needs to be in San Francisco. I think the people in San Francisco need to open their eyes and see what's going on. Because, you know, for me, it's like when I think about this lawsuit, it's not even – this is the principal. You know, this is my family, and I'm dealing with – 3 empty lives in my life. And
no amount of money on earth could ever replace it. No, it wouldn't matter if you won $100 million. It wouldn't matter. I understand that. What's keeping you going is trying to get justice here. I understand that as well, Danielle.
Exactly. But I do want to say this, too, is we have not even heard from our governor. And I understand that he's busy with the budget. But, my God, he has not even paid attention to the city of San Francisco. Where's he been through all of this? If I was governor.
He's another empty suit. Schwarzenegger's another fraud. He's a melting ice cream cone. Look, don't expect anything from politics, from politicians, Danielle. I learned that if you read the Bible, they'll tell you never expect anything from politicians. What you can expect is something from the people. And I represent the people not only in San Francisco but across America, and they know what heartbreak you are feeling right now. Danielle, is there any way people can contribute to your legal defense fund? Do you have an address they can mail any money to?
I do.
Because
I
if
have.
You do, I'll put it right on the air. I'll put it on my website. But before you do, Danielle, I am going to donate $5,000 right now from the Michael Savage Legal Defense Fund to your defense, your lawsuit against the city, whatever you want to do with it. God bless you. I don't know. No amount of money on earth could ever make up for what happened to you. But how can the people listening to this show help you directly, Danielle?
Oh, God. First, I just want to say thank you so much. And we have a fundraiser for the family for the 2 kids, my son and my daughter.
I tell you what, Danielle, leave it with my people. I will read it on the air. I will put it on my website. I have no other words to say than I have already said. You have made an impression that needs no further embroidery. People heard you. Okay. They know what happened to you. Here's a woman who lost a husband and 2 beautiful sons, law-abiding, and that piece of empty garbage that any Tucson Newsom never even came and said, I'm sorry. That wants to be governor. That thing thinks it could be president. That tells you everything you need to know about the Democrats.
That's right. You're absolutely correct.
Now, Danielle, before you go, I have to raise a very sensitive issue. And that is the issue of ethnicity, and I'll tell you why. Because the first thing you're going to hear is that I'm a racist and I'm anti-Latino and I'm just trying to bash Latinos who are simply coming in for sanctuary. When I know for a fact that you are you're a Latina, is that correct?
I am. I'm Mexican in Nicaragua, yes.
All right, well, let the people understand that it's not about ethnicity, it's about legality.
Exactly.
It's about legality. You just, I have a lot of other things I could say, Danielle, and I'm not going to do it. I feel very bad right now. And frankly, I think I should let you go because there's things I'm going to say I'm going to regret saying in 2 minutes.
But I just want to say to all the listeners, just keep us in prayer, please, because, you know, we need a lot of it. You know, my son who passed away that was 16, his birthday is September 3rd, and my wedding anniversary is September 12th. And, you know, I missed him so, so much. This is just too sad for me, and it's awful to live your life when you have a full family and all of a sudden it's cut off in one day on a Sunday. I still can't get over it. It's still unreal to me. It's unreal.
And the politicians are all caressing and protecting the killer. They're visiting him in jail. I'm sure the mayor visited the killer.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure
the mayor has given him his condolences and assurance that he'll be taken, given the best of care by the wonderful, loving people of San Francisco who don't want to be seen as being racist. Danielle, there's nothing more I can do for you than what I have done today. I will do everything I can for you. I want to reiterate that I'm giving you in some small ways only a token of what I'd like to be able to do. And I hope that the people listening, we will get the address. We'll help you financially to seek the justice that will never bring back what is missing from your life.
But
just know that not all of the people out there are on drugs and heartless, soulless monsters like Gavin Newsom.
That's correct.
Thank you very much. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The NRA saying anything that restricts the opportunity for a guy that gets cut off in traffic from pulling out a handgun and almost assassinating an entire family, as was the case a few days ago in San Francisco where three people were gunned down, that somehow that's appropriate and wonderful, and that person celebrated his freedom to carry a loaded pistol.
I want to show you how deranged Gavin Newsom is. This is the mayor of San Francisco after the husband and the sons of Mrs. Bologna were killed by the illegal alien who was protected by Gavin Newsom's asylum policy. He had the nerve, this empty suit Newsom, to come out and say that, implying that it was the Second Amendment that permitted the gangbanger to kill this family. And this is the reason I'm playing this, is to show you the dangers of liberalism, to show you the danger of Obama and Durbin and Pelosi and Newsom and the entire cabal of the left. They are going to release these illegals on the streets. They're going to increase the asylum policies, not decrease them. You could be a grieving widow tomorrow. You could be a grieving parent tomorrow. I don't think you understand what is at stake in this election. That is why I'm so impassioned as to McCain's error in picking this unknown weak candidate. That's what I'm trying to get at. Now, I listened to Mrs. Bologna on the show, and I had to control myself because it's not easy listening to a grieving widow who's crying on the radio. It's very hard to do that. I didn't know what to expect. I've never met her. And I only hope that when we do get her address, if you want to, I don't care what you send, $10, what's it going to do for her? She lost her husband and two grown sons. Her life is, I mean, it's empty. It's shot through. But do you think it happened for no reason? I mean, because of no political reason? It happened because the city of San Francisco is run by insane liberals who are celebrating their goodness, their decency, their sanctuary policies, and how much they love Latinos. They don't love Latinos. They use Latinos. They abuse Latinos. Governor Schwarzenegger, that fake ice cream cone, didn't even pick up a phone and call this widow. Gavin Newsom didn't even come over and express his condolences. These are heartless people. This is unheard of. The city I grew up in when I was a little boy was New York. Something like this had happened, I can guarantee you the governor would have been there. The mayor would have been there. It would happen even today. The governor and mayor would be there with a tragedy like this. But the cynicism of the Republicans and the Democrats is such that Schwarzenegger would avoid Mrs. Bologna and the funeral for fear of antagonizing a few Latino voters when she herself is a Latina. Do you understand what I'm saying to you, how hopeless this whole political structure is? I've said all I'm going to say. I donated some money to her. Big deal. Big deal. That's going to really help her. San Francisco, Brian, welcome to the Savage Nation from KNEW. What's on your mind?
Well, that was a tough one. Her loss of her family. Well, the mayor's a pig, to be honest with you. I hope I'm on the jury. I'd love to be on that jury.
But that gangbanger who killed her husband and two sons, do you know that he had been arrested 2 months prior by the police, who do a great job in the city, only to be released by Kamala Harris, the district attorney, who was partying in Denver with Obama and the minions, with Gavin Newsom, about what great people they are, what rising stars they are?
No political gain they couldn't gain anything from it politically, so they had nothing to do with her.
Well, what does that tell you about them? I mean, there are politicians out there who are politicians and human beings. In San Francisco, we have just politicians who are not human beings. Thank you. Arizona, Jonathan, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. I was just wondering, Dr. Savage, like, I'm an American soldier myself, and I live down here in Cochise County, which is one of the major pathways for illegal immigrants into this country. And as a soldier myself, where is the line drawn that I'm supposed to defend my country, but my country can't defend my country?
I think that's a well-stated position. And I have said in the past that the troops should be brought home from Iraq and put on the border with Mexico. But as you well know, I've also said other things that make sense that go nowhere, such as oil for illegals, such as make Iraq, which has a $79 billion surplus, pay for the reconstruction that we're paying for. And strangely enough, even Obama said that last night. That's amazing to me, Jonathan, that Obama's people seem to be listening to this show more carefully than these empty suits called Republicans. Obama said last night that Iraq has a $79 billion surplus. We ought to be using some of that to pay for the reconstruction in the course of war. I haven't heard that from McCain. Have you, Jonathan?
No, I haven't.
Well, I have no answer as to what a soldier should do. No answer to that question whatsoever. Sacramento Joe, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Michael, I just want to tell you I'm so disappointed about this pick that McCain chose. And I want to point out another thing that hasn't been brought up, and that is the fact that she just had a two-year-old handicapped child. Who's going to raise that if she's supposed to be vice president?
Mm. That's a tough one.
Children, when she's in the White House, I don't think it's going to happen. You're right. It seems like this is a conspiracy of some sort to purposely throw the election because, you know, people that I talk to that are Republicans, we were trying to figure, oh, maybe you'll pick a woman, maybe the lady from Texas, maybe this one, maybe that one. But you know what? This is just ridiculous.
Yeah, this is off the boards. Yeah, Hutchison would have been a choice that I wouldn't have liked, but she was certainly would have more experience. Hutchison's a liberal like McCain, but she brings to the office a dignity and a history. And you say, all right, she's sort of like someone you could live with, the Texas senator. We understand that. She's a George Bush type. But certainly experienced. This one no one ever heard of.
Right.
Thank you for the call. Las Vegas, TJ, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Oh, I was just thinking that Newsom and the DA should be held as accessory to murder.
I have said that. It is up to the U.S. attorney. I do not believe that the U.S. attorney will do that. The U.S. attorney's been playing it very carefully. He's been doing a good job trying to nudge the city in the right direction. But this city needs more than a nudge. This city needs a sledgehammer over its head in order to save the city and save the people. Sanctuary cities are a violation of federal law. They're a violation of common sense. And in this case, they're a clear and present danger to the survival of families. We need the United States government to step in and bring the FBI into San Francisco and replace the district attorney immediately with a nonpartisan judge to save the city from this partisan district attorney. It will never happen. And the reason is because the godmother of the city, Nancy Pelosi, watches over all of this, and she is behind the entire picture. She is protecting the DA. She is protecting the mayor. She is the one. Well, let's stop right there. I would expect more from Nancy Pelosi. You know, I want to say something. I had Nancy Pelosi on my show when I was a local talk show host a long time ago. I thought she was wonderful. That is when she was concerned about Taiwan being taken over by China. And it was interesting to me that Dianne Feinstein seemed to represent the People's Republic of China, while Nancy Pelosi seemed to represent the interests of the people of Taiwan. And Nancy Pelosi did a very fine job, and she was on my show when I was a local host. I don't understand how she can detach herself from the realities of what's going on in her own city like this. It doesn't matter whether or not we agree politically on anything. What matters is that a family was wiped out by an illegal alien who was hiding here under sanctuary laws that were passed a long time ago, and that the sanctuary law itself is a violation of federal immigration law and common sense. North Carolina, Jay, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. Jay, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. Are you there? Not there. We'll go to the next one. Since New York City, WOREM, go ahead, please.
Hi. I'm so pleased to have gotten through. I've been on hold a long time.
That's okay. What's on your mind?
I'm calling Ashley to say that I do support the nomination, and I feel that that woman is the woman of accomplishment and worked her way up.
What is her name, EM? What is the woman's name?
Sarah Palin.
Okay. And why do you think she's so accomplished? Did you know who she was yesterday?
Yes, I did.
How did you know of her yesterday?
It was maybe Times Magazine or New Yorker or one of those had an article about her, a very full-blown article. And I did think at one time that, you know, she would be a right choice. However, my reasoning and my logic is, and I have to tell you, I'm an ultra-conservative.
I'm sorry, but you're breaking up and you're fading out. So there's a woman who thinks Palin is electable. I disagree respectfully with my audience. I believe it's the worst mistake in McCain's terrible campaign. He defied all logic. He undermined his one strong suit, which is experience. by trumping his own experience with the most inexperienced person that he could ever find. It's the Savage Nation. Be here.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
To talk about judgment, but really, what does it say about your judgment when you think George Bush has been right more than 90% of the time? I don't know about you, but I'm not ready to take a 10% chance on change.
Senator Obama, this is truly a good day for America. You know, too often the achievements of our opponents go unnoticed. So I wanted to stop and say, congratulations. How perfect that your nomination would come on this historic day. Tomorrow we'll be back at it. But tonight, Senator, a job well done. I'm John McCain, and I approve this message.
You're a putz. Get off the stage. Obama attacks him, and he says, Mr. Mealymouth. Mr. Schmuck, all of a sudden, he was going too far up in the polls. You know, he had to make sure the balloon came down. The more he attacked Obama, the more his poll numbers went up. All of a sudden, they said, now, John, you're getting too high now. We told you had to flop in the 11th round. We told you you had to take a dive in the 11th round, John. So, okay, so he comes out now with Mr. Mealymouth. Then to top it off, now he picks someone no one ever heard of who counters everything he's ever said about Obama and brings it into his own campaign. So there it is. Now you know why the next president of the United States will be Obama and why we'll have sanctuary cities across America and how affirmative action will be running wild in the streets and how illegal aliens will be given a red carpet into your house. And I had in the last hour a woman on the show, Mrs. Bologna. If you heard it, you'll never forget it. If you didn't hear it, I'm not going to paraphrase it. The woman lost her husband, her two grown sons, to an illegal alien gangbanger who gunned them down in the streets. The mayor never came to say, I'm sorry. The mayor never said, I'm sorry. The great governor Schwarzenegger never showed up at a funeral. And it's all because of the sanctuary policy of the city of San Francisco, which is illegal, by the way. Many of you want to know how you can help Mrs. Bologna. I gave her $5,000. We're sending her $5,000 from the Savage Legal Defense Fund. Bologna Family, B-O-L-O-G-N-A, Bologna Family, Washington Mutual, that's a bank, 845 Laurel Street, San Carlos, California, 94070. Bologna Family, Washington Mutual, 845 Laurel Street, San Carlos, California, 94070. I'm not here to raise money for her. I'm not here to tell you to do what you don't want to do or what to do, but I'm heartbroken for this city of mine that I love so much, to see such evil in the streets of this city as supported by this local rag, this filthy, useless newspaper. I'm glad it's losing $1 million a day, and one of these days the hearse will wake up and close it down altogether. There's a reason it's losing $1 million a day. Who would read a newspaper that takes a story like this about Mrs. Bologna and sweeps it under the rug as fast as they can? Who would read a newspaper that covers up for Bernie Ward, a man who traded in child pornography with girls as young as 2 years of age, showing them in full sexual contact with adult males and not even have commentary permitted on the article about Bernie Ward? But when I, Michael Savage, made one statement, they ran it for 10 straight days as though I am Jesse James, and these evil murderers are the good guys to them. But don't worry about it. I'm surviving and I'm thriving and they're not. And the reason is because you, the listener, knows the difference between one thing and another. And that's why they're going out of business, and that's why my business has never been better. But it's no longer about me. It's never really been about me. If it was about me, I wouldn't be here. It's about you, and it's about you having a voice through me. And when that woman was on this show and she was breaking down and crying, I had a fight with my own emotions because so many emotions were surging through me. What man can listen to a grieving widow? What man listening to this show can listen to a grieving widow and not want to go out there and do something for her? Tell me what man listening to this show didn't want to reach out and do something for this woman to console her and to attack her enemies. But who are her enemies? Are her enemies, in fact, the gangbangers who are being protected by the city officials? Well, in a way they are, but the real enemies are the city officials themselves, who shelter and shield drug dealers as young as 14 years of age. The real enemies of this city are not even the illegal aliens. The real enemies of this city are the liberals who have run it into the ground. And as you can see, it's resulted in the murder of an entire family. Bologna family, Washington Mutual, 845 Laurel Street, San Carlos, California, 94070. Indiana Bob, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, there's two things I would like to say. First of all, I'm completely moved by that conversation you had with Miss Bologna. I do think that you need to post that somewhere on the Internet, make that available for people to spread around to everybody they know, because I think every American needs to hear that conversation. Number two.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking we're going to MP3 that conversation with Mrs. Bologna and put it on michaelsavage.com. We're rushing to get it up for the Labor Day weekend. And maybe at the tail end, the guys can tape record the address to send donations to, because America needs to know what liberalism yields. They need to understand that Gavin Newsom and Kamala Harris, the DA, while they were partying in Denver, were not being celebrated at home. The people of this city are fed up with their violent politics.
Absolutely. It's terrible. I think that...
What emotions, Bob, what emotions went through you when you listened to Mrs. Bologna? What did you feel?
Sorrow and extreme anger. I think that these politicians, they're inhuman. I think I have no idea where they come from, but they are inhuman scumbags. And I think what happened...
But to not even go to the woman's funeral, to the funeral of her husband and sons, to not even show up there.
Yeah, not even to do that. And then before that, to not even prevent this from happening when they clearly could have. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Bob, I'm going to post it on michaelsavage.com so it's not forgotten. It's not a throwaway story for me. I'll put it up on the website. We'll leave it there for a long time. And I hope that when she sues the city, she bankrupts the city. I hope she breaks the city over her knee for what they did to her. No amount of money, $100 million, would never bring back her husband and her sons. How can you fill that void? How? Anyway, my heart goes out to her. That's why I had her on the show. I hope that you understand that. I don't even know Kamala Harris. I've never met her. But I do know that it's her policies that permitted the gangbanger to roam freely in the streets. The very same man accused of killing this beautiful woman's husband and sons had been arrested 2 months before. It was a suspected murder that he was involved in. A gun that was found in the car at that time was then linked to two additional murders. There was a whole track record ignored by the mayor and the DA. I'll be back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
You know, we know that the Dems in Congress decided to go ahead on their summer vacation over the complaining of some Republicans without even considering voting on offshore drilling or anything else for that matter. Mark Tapscott is the editorial page editor of the Washington Examiner and member of Clarity Media Group's National Editorial Board. He's written an editorial on why Congress should not have taken a vacation at this time at all. Mark Tapscott, I agree with you. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's my pleasure. It's always a pleasure and an honor to be on your show.
Well, tell us about your editorial.
Congress takes a traditional recess every summer in August, and that's a tradition that goes back all the way to the founders, because Washington was built on a swamp, and it just becomes miserably humid during the month of August. So Congress wisely gets out of town. But this year, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi rammed through a vote to adjourn for the recess to leave town without Congress having voted or the House having voted on proposals to lift the ban on oil drilling and natural gas drilling in the outer continental shelf, where there are literally billions and billions of barrels of petroleum and natural gas just waiting to be tapped. We said in an editorial that, you know, given the fact that most Americans are suffering with $4 a gallon gasoline and having to revise or even cancel their own vacation plans, you know, these guys ought to get back to town and cancel their own vacations and do something about the price of gas. And that editorial got quite a response across the country.
Vacation from what? They haven't done anything.
Well, that's an excellent question, because this Congress, this August recess took place despite the fact that for the first time in, I think, about 60 years, Congress has not yet passed even a single one of the annual appropriations bills that, you know, the federal government needs to keep in operation. And it appears very much that what Pelosi and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid and the other Democrats in the leadership in Congress are planning to do is at the end of the session, in towards the end of September or even the 1st of October, just bundle everything up into this massive, incredibly complicated, horribly expensive continuing resolution, and they'll include billions and billions and billions of tax increases and earmarks for themselves and all kinds of other pernicious stuff, and challenge President Bush to veto it, knowing that if he does, the government will shut down. So they haven't accomplished much of anything. You're exactly right in posing that question.
Well, what are they running from? What don't they want to bring up?
What the Democrats don't want to bring up is any kind of legislation that would allow the legislative ban on drilling in the Outer Continental Shelf and the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, where there are also billions of barrels of oil. There has been a ban on Outer Continental Shelf drilling since 1982, and it has to be renewed each year because it's a legislative rider, it's called. It's attached to another bill. And that rider expires this year at the end of the fiscal year on September 30th. Which means on October 1st, it's American Energy Freedom Day, because if that ban is allowed to expire, then the oil companies can go after and start drilling for and producing oil and natural gas in those areas. So they don't want to do anything that is going to give the Republicans, most of whom want to lift that ban, and they've been joined by an estimated 30 or 40 Democrats from energy-producing states who also want to do that. Pelosi knows that she will lose that vote. I think that's very much a reason why she has begun to talk recently as if she has changed her mind and is going to allow a vote. Probably more likely what she has in mind is a meaningless vote on something that is so full of qualifications and restrictions and what-ifs and ors and buts and so forth that it really doesn't amount to lifting the ban in the first place.
The oil prices are reflected in everything, food, retail prices, transportation. Why are they choosing to make this a partisan argument instead of taking care of the problem?
Oh, this is serious, serious business, and it's not just $4 a gallon gasoline that is the problem. As hard as it is and as burdensome as that is on all of us, and I have to pay it myself, and I have a long commute every day too, so believe me, I know what that means. But it also is a matter of national security, because we haven't developed our own domestic energy resources for the last 25 years. We've let them decline, and that has had the result of making us, today, we import 70% of all our oil from the thugs and dictators and sheiks that run OPEC and Hugo Chavez down in Venezuela. So we're dependent on those people. So, you know, developing our own domestic resources, which potentially dwarf anything that OPEC has, is a matter of national security. And we need to get on the stick and get that done. The sense of urgency is not just $4 a gallon gas. It's a matter of national security.
There are so many things that need to be taken care of, such as judges, the budget, congressional ethics, immigration.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I mean, you can just go down the laundry list of things that have not been done or things that have been done that shouldn't have been. There are approximately 24 of the federal appeals court nominees that President Bush has submitted to the Senate for federal appeals courts that frankly have so many vacancies on them now that they're nearing a point where they can't do their work, the daily work of hearing appeals, And the Senate Judiciary Committee under Senator Patrick Leahy, the chairman, they won't have votes on them. And these are all people that have been qualified. They've been judged by the ABA to be very qualified. It's just a matter of they don't want to confirm, the Democrats don't want to confirm conservative judges because they think that in 3 or 4 months they're going to have a Democrat in the White House and they'll be able to appoint liberal judges. You've also got, you know, the Democrats were elected to the majority or returned to the majority in 2006 largely because of the ethics scandals, the earmarks and so forth that got the Republicans. And the Democrats promised the most ethical Congress in history, and they were going to do something about earmarks and lobbyists. And they did, in fact, pass some legislation last year that had some good things in it. It wasn't entirely what we would want in the way of reform, but at least it was something in the way of steps in the right direction. Well, just a couple of weeks ago, the two committees of Congress that administer those ethics reforms basically gutted them. So they promised something, they passed it, and now they've gutted it, so that we basically have made no progress on ethics reform. You also have, we mentioned the energy reform. There are budget and tax issues that are just crying out to be addressed. You know, what's going to happen with the tax cuts that the Bush administration got through Congress in 2001 and 2003? They begin to expire here next year, and Congress is preparing to raise our taxes, to let them expire. You know, and they're not being honest with us about what needs to be done in this country.
Which is reflected in their approval rating.
Well, you know, it's at an historic low, and all my life I've been told that the two least credible people in the world were used car salesmen and lawyers, but now this Congress has managed to become even less popular than those guys. So that's quite an accomplishment when you think about it.
Well, is there anything we the people can do about it now?
It's already clear, I think, from Nancy Pelosi's attempt to appear to be changing her position on drilling, that the public has already made very clear to members of Congress who have gone back to their districts for the last couple of weeks that they want action and they want it now on developing America's own domestic energy resources. That's the most important thing that any of us can do, is to make sure that our congressmen and our senators know what we think, you know. And anybody can call the White House or the Capitol Hill switchboard and ask for their congressman or their senator's office and get their offices on the line and tell them what they think. And they need to hear from people.
Mark Tapscott of the Washington Examiner, thanks for being with us on the Savage Nation.
Michael, thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about these issues.
Savage.
Hollywood's liberal bias is well known. You know, the simple fact is that if you don't believe in the liberal talking points, you had better keep quiet about it, or it's going to be real hard to find work in Hollywood. Our next guest, Andrew Klavan, is a screenwriter and the author of such best-selling novels as True Crime, which was filmed by Clint Eastwood. It was a great movie. And Don't Say a Word, film starring Michael Douglas. He joins us now to talk about his newest book, Empire of Lies, and to talk about being a conservative living in the heart of liberal California. Andrew Klavan, it's an honor to have you on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on. It's great to be here.
Well, so tell us a little bit about your book.
Well, Empire of Lies is, first of all, it's about a conservative Christian man in the Midwest who is forced to come back to the scenes of his kind of degraded liberal youth in New York, and he starts to think he's uncovered an Islamo-fascist conspiracy, but he gets so immersed in the biased left-wing media that he begins to doubt his own sanity. So the novel becomes a kind of race against time. Can he uncover this conspiracy and at the same time dig into his own troubled past and his troubled mind to see if he's going insane? And the reason I wrote it is because I really got tired of a world, not just in Hollywood, but also in publishing, in which all the background assumptions of our stories are essentially liberal. Essentially, we're supposed to think that all cultures are the same, that all religions are equal, that all ideas are the same. And that very culture, which is what I call the empire of lies, becomes a character in the novel and becomes kind of one of the villains of the piece, trying to lead our hero away from the truth.
Well, this is exactly what's going on today on TV and the movies.
It's incredible, and it's just total nonsense. It's this idea that somehow there's some moral equivalence between a free society that sometimes makes mistakes and a society that is based on the philosophy of theocracy, of imposing your ideas on other people, of killing people who disagree, of suppressing women. There's no moral equivalence there, and yet Hollywood thinks that by telling those lies, they somehow make themselves seem better, more tolerant. You know, I believe that we need a culture, works of art, that tell the truth, that simply show the world as it is. And I think that one of the problems we have is that conservatives have kind of turned their back on the culture. They complain about Hollywood. They complain about the kind of novels that come out. But they don't do anything about it. They don't create new movies and new novels that actually speak the truth. And they don't create a system that rewards artists of awards and reviews and and praise, which is what artists work for, that rewards artists on the right. All those things, the awards, the reviewers, they're all left-wing. And the minute you step outside the orthodoxy, as I did with Empire of Lies, you get tagged. You know, the Associated Press called me a right-wing crackpot. That was their review of my novel. And whenever somebody steps outside the orthodoxy, they're going to meet those kind of reviews, and we need to set up alternative reviews that praise right-wing works.
The main character, Jason Harrow, how much of yourself is in him?
Well, he's got a much more troubled mind and a troubled past than I do, thankfully. But we share a couple of things. He has a sense of humor that I recognize as mine. He is he becomes a Christian after a certain period in his life, as I did. So there's similarities. Usually what you do is you take little pieces of yourself and you use them as yeast to bring characters to life. But it's not autobiographical.
How do you stay sane being a conservative living in the heart of the liberal capital of the world?
It's an amazing situation. In Hollywood, when you go into a meeting, a business meeting, trying to sell a story or trying to get hired as a writer, people in the room, the executives, the producers, they think nothing about bashing Bush, about bashing American foreign policy, more than anything about bashing conservatives in general. Whereas conservatives are holding secret meetings where they get together and sort of whisper their beliefs to each other just to hear them out loud. And that's how slanted the system is. And the reason is that people are afraid, conservatives are afraid, that if they express their opinions out loud, they won't get hired. That there's not a blacklist, maybe, but a gray list that makes it more difficult to get hired. And I've certainly experienced some of that. I think since I've come out and since I've been speaking as openly as I have, I know that some of my jobs have disappeared, and there are phone calls I don't get. And it's a shame that conservatives have to worry about that. And the other thing they worry about that really is disturbing is they worry about being called hateful. They worry if they transgress against liberal orthodoxy, they'll be called racist or sexist or Islamophobic, because those are the tools that the left uses, that name-calling, to keep conservatives in line. So there are a lot of things in Hollywood militating against conservative artists coming out and speaking openly, but I think it has to be done, because if we lose the culture, you know, we can win the Congress, we can win the White House, we can win the Supreme Court. If we lose the culture, ultimately we lose the country, because the culture drips its ideas slowly into the consciousness of the nation, and for the last 30 years, those ideas have been poison, to my mind, and we need to take that culture back.
It seems to me that there's a growing trend in Hollywood and elsewhere that people are beginning to stand up and speak out for their political beliefs. Is that true?
It's happening slowly. It definitely is happening. And I think we're going to reach critical mass, and ultimately we're going to win this argument. The problem is when the culture eats away at our confidence in our values and in our country, then when the Islamofascists come in, not just with violent attacks, but with that soft jihad of lawsuits and cultural attacks, we have nothing to fight them with, because we'll have lost confidence in what we are. We need art and a culture that reinforces the values of the Constitution and the values of the West, so that when these guys come in from their failed societies and say that our successful society should be more like theirs, we can say, no, we're not going to do that, because we know what we believe in and why we believe it.
Your characters have such a gritty depth to them that they seem to increase the sense of realism to me. Is that something you consciously focus on?
One of the things I'm concerned about is that as long as conservatives call for squeaky clean stories. As long as they call for heroes who are simplistic and say, oh, we just want to see stories about right and wrong where everything is very clear. As long as we do that, the left is going to own the culture. I want to tell real stories about real people with real depth that have conservative values and a conservative point of view, because the first rule of conservatism is that people are not perfectible. They have flaws. They have hidden corners. And I show my heroes and my villains to as deeply as I possibly can to show you why in the real world there are certain values that work and certain ones that don't. So I think it's really important, and especially in thrillers, because I love thrillers. I think thrillers are a wonderful vehicle for showing the world, because they give you heroes who have to race against time to find out what reality is. And I think that's what all of us have to do in our lives. This novel really is different. You know, I'm not just saying it. And if you pick up this book and read even the first three pages, you'll see that you're listening to a voice you have not heard before in mainstream fiction. And I think it'll catch you, and I think it'll pull you in. And that is the one thing I'd really like to say to people, because it's right there, right on the first page and right through the book.
A lot of the media seem to focus on fluff pieces of news like Britney's clothes or Paris's acting to keep us entertained. Is there hope for the media and our society, in your opinion? Do you think they're ever going to get any better than they are?
I think the entire country, especially our media, is in a state of denial. I think they turn to stories, silly stories like, you know, global warming as a crisis and, you know, Britney Spears and whether she's wearing underwear, to take away from something that really is going on, which is that our values are under assault around the world and within our own country. And I think that as long as they can keep us kind of, you know, goggling after the latest starlet and worried about what car we drive and what light bulb we use, it takes away from the real values that we need to be talking about, the values of the West, like tolerance and honor and duty, that we've kind of let go by the boards for a lot of superficiality and frivolousness. Listen, I like a pretty girl and a pretty starlet as much as anybody, and there's nothing wrong with some of that. But I do think the mainstream media keeps up a kind of steady drumbeat to detract, to take your eye off the ball, to take your eye off the real issues that are facing the country.
What's your opinion as to what the country needs to do to get back on the right track?
Well, I think the thing is that conservatives especially need to stop complaining and start creating. I think we've done this in a lot of ways. We've done it with think tanks that deal with political issues. We've done it with talk radio that has countered the mainstream media and the news. We need to do it more, and we need to do it fearlessly. And finally, we need to do it in the arts. The arts at this point are a wholly owned subsidiary of the left. And as I keep saying, if we lose the arts, we lose the minds of the people. And so we need to speak out fearlessly without being afraid of being called names. We're going to be called racist. We're going to be called sexist. We're going to be called hateful. We need to just speak our truth without hate and say what it is we see. And once we do that, once we show that we're not afraid, that the people who can speak and can create are not afraid, then other people will stop being afraid too. I really feel that conservatives have developed a sort of cultural cringe where they walk around terrified that somebody's going to call them a name, or even that they're going to lose their job for something they said. And we need to speak out against that. We need to speak out every time somebody is censored. We need to speak out every time the New York Times refuses to print something because it might offend Islamofascists. We need to present our opinion honestly and directly and keep the values of the West alive.
Andrew Klavan, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Thanks a lot, Michael. It's been great talking to you.
Savage.
Minutes after the hour, you're listening to the Savage Nation. A lot has been done today. Certainly, we're talking about is McCain throwing the election by picking an inexperienced, unknown woman from Alaska, trumping his own strength by picking someone who weakens him, not strengthens him. It doesn't mean she's a bad woman. Sure, she's a nice woman, as are tens of millions of other nice women. That doesn't mean people are going to go out and vote for her. There's no question in my mind this is one of the biggest political blunders in history. But many of you don't understand that. You think that simply because she has the right politics, people are going to flock to her. You're wrong. She's not going to get the Hillary voters. He needed an Iron Lady. He needed a Margaret Thatcher. This is not Margaret Thatcher. And you don't have to denigrate the woman, which I am not doing, and I don't. I hope you don't see me as denigrating her, to understand that politically it was a mistake. We've also talked about a tragedy in San Francisco that has national implications. San Francisco has been a so-called sanctuary city for a long while. It violates common sense. It violates federal law. It violates common decency to harbor illegal aliens. But when an illegal alien becomes a felon and is still protected by a city, tell me what that becomes, if not criminality. Well, we had a case here of an illegal alien who had been arrested numerous times and protected by Mayor Gavin Newsom's friends in all levels of government. Finally, he confronted a man, Mr. Bologna, and his two grown sons on an alley by accident. They turned down an alley, made a mistake, after a picnic day with their family. And without a word, this illegal alien gangbanger shot them to death. We had the widow, Mrs. Bologna, on the program, and it was quite heartbreaking. And I'm going to play a piece of it right now. Listen.
The city of San Francisco right now is opening up their eyes to something they weren't aware of, which is called the sanctuary law. You know, we all tend to have our eyes closed, but when it happens to somebody that you love and somebody close to you, you tend to say, what's going on here? You know, and with all my friends and everybody in San Francisco, they're just extremely stunned. It's changed their life. I've had many people say to me, I need to be closer to my kids, closer to my husband. And I'm a woman, which I can't even say widow, because that's indescribable to me. I never in a million years thought I would be in this situation. I lost
Let's
the beautiful
pause right
man
here,
that I love.
Because it's too hard for me to listen to it again. I don't know the DA, Kamala Harris. I never met her, but I know she's incompetent for the office. She's a danger to the survival of any law-abiding citizen. We had an officer killed a number of years ago, shot to death in a violent interchange with a known felon. He executed this policeman, and she refused, this district attorney, to pursue the death penalty for political reasons. We have an election facing us where Obama represents the sanctuary city mentality. Now, McCain is a liberal. We know that. We understand that. But McCain is not as much of a liberal as Obama. See, that's the choice that we've been given, the Hobson's choice. Which do you want to go down? Which liberal road do you want to go down? The McCain liberal road or the Obama liberal road? And it's a tough choice at that. But I can tell you this, living in a city where the sanctuary policy has led to these deaths, this is what's coming to America if you elect Obama. Make no mistake about it, Obama wants sanctuary for illegal aliens. Now, for those of you who say that those of us who oppose illegal aliens and illegal immigration were racist, you're 100% wrong. You're the racist. The true racists are the ones who use race where race doesn't belong in the discussion. A lawbreaker is a lawbreaker is a lawbreaker. If most of the lawbreakers happen to come from a particular country, then race enters the picture, not because it is the primary issue, but because it is still an issue. Moreover, if you listen to the last couple of minutes, you learn that Mrs. Bologna herself, although her husband was of Italian descent, she is of Latina descent. And here she is telling you that she lost her husband because of an immigration policy that's out of control. So think very carefully before you start throwing words like racist around. San Francisco, David, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Dr. Savage. I'd just like to say that I'm tired of what these liberals are doing to this country, and I'm appalled that they would take what that Latino did to that woman's family and use that to attack the Second Amendment.
Did you hear Mayor Newsom? He had the nerve the day after this to attack the Second Amendment. Look, Newsom is an out-of-control wild man. And they're trying to position this guy to go further up in the Democrat hierarchy. This is the danger of the Democrat Party under Nancy Pelosi. It's out of control, but it's more than out of control. It's very dangerous, not only for our survival on the streets of our cities, but for our survival on the streets of the world. If they can't manage a city like this, how are they going to manage a war against Islamofascists who are 1,000 times more intelligent and more dedicated than they are?
They're not going to be able to. And
thank you for the call. Thanks for the call. So you want to go back to Palin, the unknown woman? We know McCain has made a mistake here. Romney would have been the right choice. Why they threw Romney overboard is clear to me. It's because the evangelicals didn't want him because he's a Mormon. I think that's pathetic, frankly, and very sad. To me, a man's religion should have nothing to do with whether he's electable or not. Period. I don't care what party he's in. How they made Romney's religion an issue is quite sad. The liberals did so, and so did the evangelicals. I don't know what Mormons believe in, nor do I care. It's their business, not mine. I don't think that my religion or my belief system with regard to the next world or heaven is your business. I think that's your business. I don't think there's anything more personal than a person's religion. And how religion has got injected into this race is astonishing to me. But it did, and that's why Romney was thrown overboard. But he could have won the election for the Republicans, which leads me to believe they do not want to win this election. I believe, in all seriousness, that they... I know how the game works. 8 years this party, they sack the nation as well as they can, with only a few of them going to jail, as few as possible. Then at the end of it, the other party takes over and says, we're going to straighten this mess out, and don't worry, we'll have reform and change, and we'll clean things up. Isn't that what Pelosi promised? Didn't Pelosi promise the most ethical Congress in history a few years back? Do you remember those words of Nancy Pelosi? And yet we see that the biggest recipient of pork barrel spending in history is none other than Jack Murtha, the man who called our Marines every name under the sun. The second biggest recipient of pork barrel spending, I think, was Hillary Clinton. The third is probably Dianne Feinstein or Nancy Pelosi herself. So don't you understand how Animal Farm works? Now we have the Democrats claiming they're going to clean up government and they're not really government and the Republicans are bad and they're good. And you got millions of idiots cheering as though that's really going to happen. My gut feeling is that nothing's going to change very much. In fact, last night Obama said, we're going to pull the troops out of Iraq. It's the wrong war. And we're going to put them into Afghanistan, and we're going to have the right war. And the idiots cheer. So it's still war by any other name. So you decide whether you think this really matters, this election. In some ways, yes, there's no question about it. But are you really sure that McCain, old wobbly McCain, wouldn't go for sanctuary city policies as well? Are you sure that the McCain-Kennedy Immigration Reform Act didn't tell you who this guy really is, that he's... You know, it's A or B, diet this or diet that. Well, that's it. That's the Savage Nation. I hope you have a wonderful Labor Day weekend. I hope you'll visit michaelsavage.com, which we update 24/7. I hope you will peruse the Psychological Nudity Savage Radio Stories contents and order to reserve your copy of this collector's edition. I'm going to press next Tuesday. I hope you'll join me. This is Michael Savage. Enjoy Labor Day. God bless America.
Savage.